Hey guys, welcome to Sunset Church Podcast. We're a brand new church in Silicon Valley. My name is Yasmin and I'm one of the lead pastors here. Hey, if you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe and text 77977 and download our app.
Amen. Who's excited to be in church this morning? So we started this collection of talks called Jonah, the God of the Second Chance, about 2 weeks ago. And many of you are new for the first time, so let me just kind of catch you up. Jonah is a prophet. And God comes to him in Jerusalem and says, go to Nineveh and preach to it. And Jonah does what many of us do when God tells us something very difficult. We run. And Jonah runs and goes, and he finds himself in a long story in the middle of the ocean in the belly of the fish. And throughout this whole journey, God and Jonah are not speaking. Let me try to catch you up. So Jonah is a prophet, and prophets hear from God, and then God tells them what to say. And Jonah gets the bright idea. I don't like Nineveh because Nineveh's barbaric thing, Game of Thrones on like steroids. Like this is like craziness. And Jonah runs 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. He buys a ticket on a boat and heads and goes in the opposite direction of where God wants him to go. And while everyone is like hanging out in the ship, Jonah is watching Netflix, Marie Kondo, tidy up, and it's super boring. Doesn't understand why his wife thinks it's so great, but it's boring as he falls asleep. And then in the moment that he's sleeping, God throws a storm. And God throws a storm to get Jonah's attention. You can't run from God this morning. Some of you need to hear that. That God will chase after you no matter where you are. And the captains and the crew, they're crying out to God. Jonah, wake up. Cry out to your God. But Jonah is not talking to God. Jonah is running from God. And then Jonah goes up to the deck of the ship and they begin to cast lots. Who's responsible for the storm? Who's responsible for, we're about to die. Whose blood is on our hands? Who are we going to kill? And they cast lots and it falls on Jonah. And Jonah fesses up, yep, it's me, I'm Hebrew, I'm a prophet, I'm running from God. And the sailors show more love to Jonah than Jonah's ever shown love to them. They begin to row back to land as hard as they can. And no matter how hard they try, the storm, which is supernatural, by the way, gets even more crazy. And they come to a point at the end of the rope, either we all die or Jonah, you die. And at this point, even Jonah still doesn't repent. He goes, I'd rather be thrown into the ocean than have a face-to-face conversation with God. And they throw Jonah into the belly of the ocean. And a fish comes and swallows him. This isn't Pinocchio, by the way. This is a real story. They throw a man overboard. And for the first time in this story, Jonah is in the middle of God's will. And some of you need to understand, Jonah is running from God. And for the entire story, from the moment that God came to him the first time, God speaks to him the second time, they were not speaking. Have you ever stopped talking to someone before? Remember the 90s, it was talk to the hand because the face ain't listening, right? Today we text message. Now we have this thing called read receipts. Have anyone have read receipts on their phone? Thank God none of you have it, right? That where I text you, I'm like, hey bro, did you get my message? Like, no, I didn't get it. Like, bro, I know you're lying. Said you read it at 9:42 p.m. What are you talking about? That's what's happening to Jonah. Jonah's like, I didn't get your message. God's like, God, I spoke it to you directly, Jonah. Jonah, of all people in the Bible, should know that he can't run from God. He's a prophet. There's only 50 of them in Jerusalem. They didn't just study the scriptures. They experienced the presence of God. Jonah knew God's miracles. He knew his face. He spoke to him the way I'm speaking to you this morning. And yet he still runs. Why? When you look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jonah fled the presence of God. And you look at the Hebrew word of that phrase to understand. It's the word panim. Panim, it means to turn from someone's face. Jonah was running from the face of God. See, he knew when he went to that ship to buy a ticket on a carnival cruise, he knew God saw him. When he went inside the boat and went to sleep, he knew God saw him. When the storm hit the boat, and he knew that if he just repented, it would stop, he knew God saw him, but he refused because Jonah didn't want to have a face-to-face conversation with God. He was running from God. How many of us are there this morning? How many of us are there this morning? Sometimes we run from God. This is when, listen, we don't want to hear what God has to say. This is why we stop showing up to church sometimes, because we don't want to have a face-to-face intimate conversation with God. This is why sometimes we stop even going to life group, which I'm so excited are starting next week. Is anyone excited for life groups? But what does Jonah do? Jonah puts the hand up and says, God, talk to the hand, because the face doesn't want to hear it. And we are exactly the same. Same verse, different chapter of our life, right? And we don't want to go to life group and hear, how is your relationship with God doing? We don't want to hear someone say, what is God speaking to you in this season of your life? We don't want someone to ask, what are you hearing from the word this morning? What are you hearing from God in this season of your life? Because we don't want to hear it from God. Jonah knows that God is right there, but he doesn't want to hear it. Have you ever been somewhere, like right next to someone, and they're talking to you, but you don't want to be there, right? Like Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and he's alone with God, and this is the first time that they are speaking, but he doesn't want to hear it. Have you ever been there, like someone's right there, and they're talking to you, but like you don't want to hear it? Like Pastor Yasmin and I, when the first time we got married, for only time we got married, by the way, I don't know why I said it that way, but when we were dating and when we got married, like we're Middle Eastern, like we're like passionate. Like if you saw us from a distance, like inside the car, you're like, they're like angry. Like, they're like yelling. It's like, no, we're just like passionate people, like, right? And so there'll be times like we get in these huge fights and like, man, there are times when I'm driving. I'm like, I don't even want to hear anymore. I just like stare into the windshield. Like she's like talking. I'm like zoning her out. Like, I don't want to be here. I want to be at Chick-fil-A. Like, eating nuggets or like a soft serve, like go away. Like, I like you, but I don't want to be around you right now. Anyone ever been there before? Anyone ever been around someone when they're right there, but you don't want to talk to them? Jonah is just like us. How many of you can relate to that story? Where God wants to speak to you, but you're like, God, I don't want to be intimate with you right now. God, I know you want to speak to that broken part of my life, but I don't want to hear it right now. I know that you want to touch that part of my heart, my soul that's wounded, but I don't want to hear it, Lord. I know this part of my life doesn't please you. I know this part of my life is not healthy. I know this part of my life is broken, God, but God, I don't want to hear it. This is why every year we start with 21 days of prayer and fasting. So we can shut out the voice, shut out our flesh, renew our hearts towards God, because His voice is the greatest voice in our lives. But what's the point of praying and fasting? It's not changing God. It's God changing us. So that when he speaks, one word from him will change our entire life, change our entire environment. But Jonah doesn't pray for 21 days like the way we are. And we're on day 13, by the way. And if you want one of these journals, they're free. We made them for you. Who cares if we're on day 13? Jump right in. You can still join it. Day 13 is, I believe, today. Day 14 is tomorrow. We end a week from tomorrow. But Jonah doesn't do this 21 days of prayer and fasting. But God says, I'm going to put you in an environment. I'm going to put you in a place where you can't run from me anymore. I'm going to put you in a place where you can't even watch Netflix anymore. You can't look at your cell phone. I'm going to put you in the belly of a fish. I'm going to remove every single distraction so you can no longer run from me. And Jonah finds himself in the belly of a fish. And for the first time in the story, God and Jonah are finally speaking. Jonah's repenting. He didn't repent when they threw him overboard, but he repents when he's in the belly of this fish. And we studied that the whole chapter 2 last week. But I want to read you from chapter 2, verse 7. It says this. I remember the Lord. And then verse 8 says this. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. God knows that even when he rebels against God, even when he's running away, God is running after him. Some of you need to hear that this morning. God's pursuing you. God's coming after you. God doesn't care how many times you run away. God doesn't even care how many times how many you didn't go to church last week. You may count, but God doesn't count. God celebrates the fact that you're here, and his steadfast love is coming after you. And if you think that verse is great, watch the next verse, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish, not fist, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah's done running. Jonah's done running from God. Jonah's done making excuses that he just blocked God's DMs on Instagram. He kind of like blocks him as text messaging. He's done running. Read this next verse. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Say second time.
Second time.
Come on, there are two miracles in that verse. The first miracle is God spares his life. It's not enough for God to bring Jonah out of the whale. But there's another miracle. He didn't just save him. He commissioned him again. He said, I'm still not done with you. The call on your life is still not over. I still have a plan and a promise for your life. Is anyone grateful for the second chance of God this morning? That no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter where you've gone, no matter how far you are from God, he still pursues you. And he doesn't just save you. He recommissions you. And why does this shock us about God? That our God is the God of the second chance. That no matter who you are, no matter what your age, no matter how far you are from God, he pursues you, he comes after you, and he doesn't just save your life, he recommissions you. This book is called the Book of Jonah, but God is the main character. God's the hero. God's the one who's faithful when we're not faithful. God's the one who loves us when we turn our back on him. God's the one who, even though he's rejected, keeps extending his hand of love to us. That's the gospel. Not our faithfulness, but his faithfulness. But is Jonah the only one who experiences the God of the second chance? What about the sailors? What about the sailors? They cry out to God and say, God, they don't even cry out to God the first time. They cry out to their own gods. And then when they get to the end of the rope, then they cry out to Yahweh. Then they cry out to Jehovah. And then they begin to cry out to Jesus. And does God say, sorry, talk to the hand because the face ain't listening? He says, if you call on me, I hear you. If you call on my name, I will save you. If you cry out to me, I will redeem you. Because why? Because we serve the God of the second chance. But it's not just the second chance for Jonah. It's not just the second chance for the sailors. What about Nineveh? Does God give them a second chance? We read in verse chapter 3, read this. This is amazing. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. This is amazing. They're doing a fast too. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from the throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Do not let people or animals, herds or flock, taste anything. Everyone's fasting, even the animals. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And the last verse says this, when God saw what they had did and how they had turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is amazing. Not only does God of the God of the second chance for Jonah, not just for the sailors, but even for Nineveh. God is dead set on destroying the city. But the moment they repent, the moment they turn from their sin, God saves the entire city. Why? Because God hears your cry. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your past is. God will hear you. God will heal. Even if Hitler repented, God will even hear if you're a Lakers fan this morning and repent. Come on. He'll forgive anyone, right? But this entire Bible, listen, is filled with people who are given second chances. Yeah. Last week we talked about how Jonah, when he prayed, he sampled songs from the past. In Jonah chapter 2, it's verses after verse of him praying. But those aren't his verses. Those aren't his prayers. He was sampling songs like hip-hop artists do from the past. But he sampled songs from a guy named David. Do you know who David is? Do you know what David did? David slept with one of his friend's wives, got her pregnant, and then killed him. This isn't Jerry Springer. This is the Bible. And then when God says, when he's about to come after David, David truly repents. He says, God, create in me a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me. God, give me another chance. And God relents. Why? Because we serve the God of the second chance. David knew that it wasn't just his sin that had pulled him away from God. It was his heart. His heart had become callous. His heart had become cold to the things of God. And when he turned, God relented and forgave him. Why? Because we serve the God of the second chance. What about if you go even further back? What about a guy named Abraham, the father of faith? Did you know that Islam, Judaism, and Christianity call this man the father of faith? Yeah. This man comes to God. God comes to him at the age of 75 and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless your names that every person on this planet will know who you are, Abraham. And that prophecy came true. Doesn't matter who you are, everyone knows who Abraham is. God says, I'm going to bless you as numerous as the stars are in the sky, as numerous as the sand are on the shores of the beach. That's how many your descendants will be. I'm going to give you a son, Abraham. And Abraham is at 75 years old, and he waits. And he waits. And he waits 20 years, and God still doesn't show up. So he tries to manufacture a miracle. And at this point, most of us would think Abraham's done. But we serve the God of the second chance. And God comes to Abraham and says, even though you messed up, even though you slept with your wife's maidservant, even though you tried to manufacture a miracle, my promise over your life is not over. You're still going to be the blessing to many nations. You're still going to be the father of faith. Why? Because we serve the God of the second chance. What if you go back even further? Go back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve. They're in the perfect presence of a perfect God in the Garden of Eden. They are made in the image of God. They have nothing. They have no Netflix. They have no Lakers, right? This is a glorious world. But they sin. And they messed it up. And even in their demise, God comes not to punish them, not to kill them, but to give them a second chance. And it's the very first prophecy of Jesus in the Bible, Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 15. God prophesies, one day from you, woman, a seed will come and he will crush the head of the serpent, but you will strike its heel. God didn't just give Adam and Eve a second chance. He gave all of humanity a second chance. Is there anyone grateful this morning for the God of the second chance? Can anyone testify that God has given you a second chance? That prophecy came true in the form of Jesus. Jesus was the one that God the Father prophesied in the garden that one day the seed would come and would crush this enemy's head. That was Jesus. God became a man, fully God, yet fully man. And he walked among us. And we didn't even recognize him. Because why? Because in our brokenness, in our messed upness, instead of receiving God with joy and gratitude, we nailed him to a cross. We crucified him. God says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son. We don't even understand this kind of love. This is the kind of love we can't even grasp. This is not even the love that we give one another. You know why? Because when we're hurt, we hurt back. When we're wounded, we wound back. When someone hits us, we hit back. God says in the scriptures that I'm going to turn the other cheek. You hurt me, I'm going to absorb it. My love is greater than your pain. My love is greater than your sin. My love is greater than your rebellion and your wayward ways. My love is so great that I'm going to die for you even when you don't want the chance. That's what the cross is all about. It's the God of the second chance. That he didn't die for us when we were his friends. He died for us when we were his enemies. That's the gospel. That's Christianity. I can go up and down this aisle, and every person in this room, no one is on their first chance. Everyone has been given a second chance in this room. Is there anyone grateful for the God of the second chance this morning? But there are some of you that come to church for the very first time. You're like, you know what, Allie? I understand that Abraham was given a second chance, and David was given a second chance, and Jonah was given a second chance. But listen, Pastor Allie, I'm on like chance 200. I'm like really far from God. What's up with that? Like, what's my hope? Jonah was given a second chance. What about me? What's the hope for me? Listen, do you think Jonah was just given two chances in the story? Let's review the facts for a second. God comes to Jonah and says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah does what? He totally disobeys God and goes and buys a ticket on a boat. Strike one. And then when he's downstairs sleeping, when everyone else is freaking out, they go, call out to your God. Does Jonah cry out to his God? Strike two. And then when they cast lots and they figure out it's Jonah's sin that's responsible for the storm, Jonah confessed. He goes, oh yeah, it's me. Does Jonah confess this to the sailors, but does he confess to God? Strike three. And Jonah knows if he just repents, if he just turns from his ways, this storm will end. But he refuses to speak with God. He'd rather have everyone die than him talk face to face to God. How many times did Jonah be forgiven? How many chances did God give Jonah? How many times did God pursue Jonah? Listen, I don't care if you're on chance two or chance 200. The fact that you are here this morning means that God wants you. God desires you. God has a chance for you. As long as you have air in your lungs, that means God still has a chance for your life. That he wants to do something in you. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. He's still not done with you. If you're not dead, that means God's not done. Anyone believe that this morning? Some of you come to church and it's like, what do I need to do to be close? He did all the work. Yeah. He sent his son. He's the God of the second chance. It's not your chance, it's his chance. It's not what you do, it's what he does. Yeah. That's what makes this story so amazing. So good. That Jonah didn't deserve it, but God still loved him. Jonah didn't deserve to be given a second chance. God should have let him go into the depths of the ocean. I'm going to pick another prophet. Some of you do that with God this morning. You don't want to come to church because you think you lost your chance. And so you keep running from him, not realizing those storms in your life are his way of bringing you back. Some of you need to get woke this morning that he's coming after you, not because he's angry, but because he loves you. But because he loves you. And what's so beautiful about this story is that as Jonah is in the belly of this fish, Did you know that when you look at the Bible, there are verses and chapters. The verses weren't added until the 1200 AD. The chapters were added 1200. The verses were added 1600s. But the headings, those weren't originally there. There are four headings in the book of Jonah. Did you know this? The one of the headings is Jonah flees. The other heading is, excuse me, my brain just went blank. Jonah flees, God throws, like God throws a storm. And the third one is Jonah prays. And the fourth one is Jonah goes. See, what you need to realize this morning is that God is giving you a choice. Jonah didn't just pray a prayer in the belly of this fish. He changed his ways. He changed his direction. See, God gives you the gift of a choice. God gives you the choice of free will. He says, choose him today. Don't just know what to do, do it. He's never going to force you to do something. He gives you the choice. And what's so beautiful about this story is that Jonah prays the prayer and he gets on dry land and he goes to Nineveh. He doesn't do, even though his flesh, even though his feelings don't want to do it, he still does it. And in his obedience, an entire city is saved. Did you know that your obedience can save people? That's good news this morning. Did you know that when you know who you are in Christ, when you walk it out, that other people in your life, when they see God working in you, they're going to find freedom? Because everyone thinks, I need to do it on my own strength. But when God changes you, redeems you, builds you up, and lifts you up as a banner, when they see you, they're like, if he can do it for him, he can do it for me. When you testify, I was in bondage, I was addicted, but God changed me. That's when the glory of God shows through. Not when we're perfect people, but when we're people of the second chance. And when Jonah repents, listen, he goes to the city. And so many of us, listen this morning, we do the first three things. We run from God, and then he throws a storm. And then we repent, we come to church, have this encounter with God, and then we walk out and we continue to live the way that we did. We continue to live in compromise. We continue to live in sin. My encouragement for you this morning is the cycle is going to keep repeating because you're going to walk out, you're going to be a different person out there with your friends and your family than who you are in here. And the same storm's going to come and the same problem's going to arise and you're going to come back and pray the same exact prayers. And God doesn't want us to just repent. I know this is not a sermon where you're like, oh my gosh, I want double portion of that. Right? But this is what you need. Do what Jonah does. He runs. God chases after him after his steadfast love. And then Jonah repents. And repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is turning from that direction and going a different direction. Jonah was headed east. And he repents and he begins to head west. And my encouragement for you this morning is God doesn't want you to just pray a prayer and go live that broken life that you've been living. He wants you to change your life. Read this verse with me, or this quote from me from A.W. Tozer. Prayer is never an acceptable substitute for obedience. The sovereign Lord accepts no offering from his creatures that is not accompanied by obedience. To pray for revival while ignoring or actually flouting the plain precepts laid down in the scriptures is to waste a lot of words and get nothing for trouble. I don't know what your reason for disobedience is this morning. I don't know why, what's holding you back from following him, but don't let it be fear. God didn't just come to give you life. He came to give you life abundantly. Don't let fear of what other people are going to say about you. Don't let fear of insecurity hold you back. God wants to change your life. And hear me in this. The gospel is not God, you pray to him and then you figure it out on your willpower. You figure it out on your strength. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, I'm sorry, God. Help me follow you. And as you take one step towards him, that's when the power of the gospel comes forth in your life. See, church is never enough. Life groups are never enough. You need a face-to-face encounter with God. You need a daily relationship with him. It's not about coming to a building and hearing some Middle Eastern dude wear some skinny jeans that your 13-year-old daughter is supposed to wear. Come on. It's about having a personal, intimate relationship with him. And he wants to speak to you face-to-face. He wants to change you. He wants to build you up. He wants to change your life. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're on chance 2 or chance 200, he will never stop pursuing you. But the choice is yours. With every chance comes a choice. God wants to give you that choice this morning. God wants extending another life, another option, another way of living. Would you do it with Him? If He was willing to die for you, how much more does He want to give you other things? The life that you've always been seeking. Come and see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. The life that Silicon Valley has to offer will never quench your thirst. Alcohol will never quench that thirst. Those drugs will never quench your thirst. That porn will never quench your thirst. That boyfriend will never quench your thirst. That career will never quench your thirst. That promotion will never quench your thirst. You need Him. And He loves you enough to keep extending His hand so that you would just turn to Him. Can I ask you guys to stand and pray this morning with me? I just so believe that there are some of you this morning, I know this is a hard message, but some of you need to hear it. God's waiting for you to come back to Him. God's waiting for you to turn, not just pray a prayer, but turn from your ways and come back. God loves you enough to extend His hand. God didn't just save Jonah, He recommissioned him. Some of you need to be recommissioned into the life that God has called you. There's a plan over your life. There's a calling on your life. You didn't sin it away. You didn't lose it when you walked away from church. Listen, you can never out-sin God. His grace is enough. His grace is sufficient to pull you back, to change you and redeem you and recommission you. Some of you, that's where you're at. You know God like Jonah. You know exactly the power of God. You know what He can do in your life. You just have not been walking with Him. And He spoke to you this morning. And He's saying, come back. And just like David, you recognize what you did. He said, God created me a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me. With every eye closed and every head bowed. If that's you this morning, if you're like Jonah, you know who God is. You would self-identify as a Christian, but you have been running from Him. And you think God is angry with you. Listen, He's the God of the second chance. He wants to redeem your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to recommission you back into what He originally called you. There's no shame in saying, I need a second chance. Every person in this room needed a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. If that's you this morning, can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Can I pray that not just that you would pray a prayer, but you'd walk out of this room walking in the precepts that He's called you with every eye closed and every head bowed. If that's you this morning, if you want to turn and come back to God, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking. I'd love to pray for you. Yes, I see your hand over here on the left, on the right over there. Yes, I see your hand over here. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You guys can put your hands down. Let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you that you are the God of the second chance. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. But thank you so much for your Son who on His death on a cross paid my penalty, paid for my mistakes. He died so that I could live. He suffered so that I wouldn't have to. Thank you so much for Jesus, that He's the God of the second chance. He gave it to Adam and Eve. He gave it to Abraham. He gave it to David. And now I want to receive that second chance this morning, God. Would you recommission me, Jesus? Would you call me to the things that you've always called me to, the things I was afraid of doing, God? And there are some of you this morning, you never knew God loved you enough to send His Son Jesus to die for you. You thought Christianity is about being good and cleaning your life up before coming to church. Where the gospel is, God is the shower. You come to Him, He cleans you. He dies for you, not when you're good, when no one is. And He wants to speak to you face to face as a friend does. Because our God is alive, our God is living. And He speaks in the same way that God spoke to Jonah, God wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you what your calling is. He wants to tell you why you were born. He wants to give you a plan and a purpose for your life greater than anything that Silicon Valley can offer you. And some of you, you never knew this God who wants to speak to you face to face. His name is Jesus and He's God and He died for you and He wants a relationship with you. If that's you this morning, you want to start a relationship with Jesus. No one's looking. You're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. And listen, faith always begins in private. No one's looking. If that's you this morning, would you be bold enough to raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to bring you up to the front. We just want to celebrate with you what God wants to do in your life. If anyone wants to receive Jesus this morning as their Lord and Savior, let me just pray. Would you pray this prayer in your heart with me if that's you this morning? God, thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving heaven as God and becoming a man, for living the sinless, perfect life. You never ran from God, Jesus. You never disobeyed. You always obeyed. Even you obeyed to death on a cross. Why? For me, Jesus. Thank you that you died for me so that I can have a second chance. I want to know you, Lord. I want to walk with you, God. I want to speak to you face to face. Would you forgive me? Would you fill me with your Spirit? If that's you this morning, we would love to chat with you. We would love to help you on this journey of faith.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's podcast. We hope this message gives you hope. If you need prayer or want to reach out to us at all, we hope you do at info@centerset.church. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Centerset Church and Facebook. We'll see you guys next time.